WOR News Time coming up on 11:05. As heard right here, Rutgers lost to Maryland 68-60. Islanders beat the Flyers 4-3. Devils losing to Dallas 5-1. The Nets defeated by the Lakers 106-96. Tomorrow they host the Nuggets. The Knicks will be in Miami. And David Ortiz will be a Baseball Hall of Famer, having been announced at the National Baseball Hall of Fame's 2022 class. However, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens did not make the cut in what was their last year on the ballot. Now, meteorologist Mark Thibodeau.
Here's your WOR Weather Channel forecast. We'll see a generally clear sky into sunrise, a low dropping down to about 20. Mostly sunny weather ahead for Wednesday, afternoon high 27. Clear Wednesday night, a low of 14. And Thursday, intervals of clouds and sun thawing out just a little bit, highs in the low 30s. Cloudy Friday with a high in the mid-30s. And to kick off the weekend, we're watching the potential for some increased snow chances and blustery winds. I'm meteorologist Mark Thibodeau from the Weather Channel on 710 WOR.
It's clear in 31 outside of the WOR Tribeca iHeartRadio studios as I Am the World with John Batchelor continues now. Your next update at midnight. Breaking news at once. Start your day with Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning, 6 to 10 tomorrow. I'm Steve Greenfield on 710 WOR, an NBC News radio station.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To London, to Joseph Sternberg, the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. And London observing Ukraine crisis. In these last hours, the prime minister in parliament, matched by the leader of the opposition, Keir Starmer, making adamant remarks about the support for Ukraine from the United Kingdom, from this government and from the people of the United Kingdom. The prime minister used the metaphor, we stand four square behind Ukraine. He went on to express his interest in maintaining the freedom of the fragments of Ukraine that still are free. Also, that in the event, and he's talking about more Russian incursion, not a fresh Russian incursion, Russian troops are reported to occupy Crimea and parts of the Ukraine sovereign state that is now called Donbass. The two breakaway republics are said to be staffed by Russian troops as well. The prime minister was keen on making these statements. He was joined by members of his party and members of the opposition. At the same time, there was much talk about domestic matters, especially the investigation of the prime minister's conduct in the first year and second year of the virus at number 10, something generally called Partygate. But we'll begin with the matter of the crisis in Europe. Joe, a very good evening to you. I read from the London Times in these last hours. Ukraine crisis. Boris Johnson threatens Russia with toughest sanctions ever. This goes on to say that Boris Johnson said ministers of his government were in talks with the United States about expelling Russia from the SWIFT network, a move that would effectively cut Russian banks off from the West overnight. In the Commons, Mr. Johnson said it would be a very potent weapon. How do you measure the reporting of the Ukraine matter and the response of the British people to these ongoing stories now that the President of the United States is talking about additional troops for NATO and other members of NATO, including the United Kingdom, are talking about redeploying warships, warplanes, and combat units? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Well, you know, I think that definitely this is capturing public interest over here, because I think that there is a sense that this is a very important and worrying development if you are going to have Russia, and particularly Vladimir Putin's Russia, trying to violently redraw its Western border in some way. So I think there's an appreciation that this is a serious issue. And yet part of the difficulty that you've got is that, you know, as intelligent as parts of the British response to the situation are, and I think that the Brits are certainly, you know, doing their best to be very helpful here. I think that they have attempted to, you know, send various military aid to Ukraine. And I think that, you know, certainly Boris Johnson's statement suggests that they are thinking along the right lines in terms of sanctions. The difficulty is that they can't do it alone. And I think that there's a wide understanding both inside and outside of the government that on a certain level, this issue needs to be handled under the aegis of NATO. And yet NATO itself is very divided. I mean, you mentioned this issue of whether it would be possible to use access to the SWIFT network for banking transactions internationally as a vector for imposing sanctions on Russia. I mean, it's very helpful for Britain to suggest that it might support such a move, and parts of the Biden administration at least seem to support that. Germany seems not to. The German government has been subject of several leaked media reports in Germany suggesting that they would not be open to that. So I think that this is highlighting the extent to which there is a certain understanding of what the situation demands on the part of the British government, but also a keen awareness that that alone doesn't get you very far, that they are going to be constrained by the ability of other NATO allies to agree on a particular course of action here.
The head of MI6 on BBC4, which is the agreed upon political channel on the BBC radio, making remarks that are alarming. A statement by Mr. Younger, given that Mr. Putin has rejected the only reasonable compromise, it's hard for me to see how he can avoid having to follow through to some extent. And at that point, unleashed the law of unintended consequences. So it does worry me. He added, I at the moment cannot see a scenario where Mr. Putin can back down in a way that satisfies the expectations that he has created. Is there a sense, BBC4 and the telly, of an inevitability of combat, Joe?
I think that the way this issue is discussed, certainly in the UK, is starting to take on a form of inevitability. And it's interesting because certainly outwardly, a lot of officials will still claim that they are pursuing diplomatic options and are cautiously optimistic that there might be some way to negotiate some form of agreement with Putin that would see him not moving into those areas of Ukraine. But the difficulty with that is that no one can quite articulate what such an agreement might look like. And you then also have this other fact that increasingly the discussion is dominated by this argument about what the allies would be able to agree amongst themselves to do once Putin has made his move. And I think that kind of discussion, once it starts, definitely does contribute to that air of inevitability that is not always necessarily very, very helpful or encouraging in this kind of situation.
I'm reading a new book by a distinguished World War II historian, a young man in Great Britain, about the performance of one particular armor unit, the Sherwood Rangers, across the map of Europe, both in North Africa and then in detail from D-Day all the way to VE Day. And what strikes me, Joe, is that it's been many decades, and I wonder if the memory of the war has disappeared. This is a catastrophe. There is no victory. The British Army, joined with the American Army, looks to be the victors, but these men are damaged for the rest of their lives, either with wounds or what they saw and the horror that they experience on both sides, on all sides. Is that part of the conversation in London? Are people being reminded that war is a failure, not a success?
Well, I think that there is definitely an awareness of that issue as much as anything else. But I think that part of the difficulty that you then are running into with this conversation is how do you define failure and how do you define success? So I think that at some point earlier in this process, it might have been possible to view success as entirely discouraging or deterring Putin from making any kind of move. And it might still be possible that that will happen. I mean, you're seeing certainly from the U.S. Belated attempts to really try to hammer the deterrence point. But I think that, you're also going to reach a point where success is going to involve kind of how effectively are Britain and the U.S. and other NATO allies able to mobilize themselves to sanction or try to discourage Putin from pushing any further, or indeed to try to help the Ukrainians push back any incursions that the Russians make. And I think that in that regard, it's really not at all clear how effectively the Allies are going to be able to do any of that. I mean, one of the things that's just so striking to me about this is how behind the ball so many of the Allies seem to be on a lot of these conversations. I mean, why are we having this conversation about exactly what financial sanctions should look like? And that is not necessarily a kind of helpful delay to have experienced here.
There's another story in London. Joe knows it well, and we're going to turn to it. It's about the investigation of the conduct of the Prime Minister and his cabinet and his colleagues at Number 10 during the virus. It might even be the lead story right now for all of the British Isles. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.